Hey, 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 and welcome to a brand new episode of the Dear Growing Women's Podcast. I am excited that you are here with me this week for this episode, Be Pliable. We are in episode 6 of our brand new season, 6 more to go. I promised you 12, and I promise I will hold to that, okay? How are you? Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how these episodes, this episode impacts your life. If it speaks to you, if something resonates with you, let me know. I always enjoy getting feedback. I always enjoy just knowing that I am right where I need to be. All right, so let's dive in. This week's episode is titled Be Pliable. How many times do we stop at the point of discomfort? I can say for me, when my physical body doesn't want to deal with a certain level of pain and discomfort, I know I will not push myself beyond that limit, push myself beyond that point of pain, that point of discomfort. And I would say the same is true for emotionally and mentally. Like if I am taxed or if I feel like I don't have the capacity for it, there are times when I know I need to push past, and there are times when I just absolutely cannot. And there's a difference between neglecting, taking care of your physical body, taking care of your mental and emotional health. There's a difference between that and then also avoidance. A lot of times we operate under avoidance because of comfort. Our comfort allows us to stay steady, not necessarily moving forward, not necessarily moving back, but just being comfortable. But the longer you are comfortable while everything else goes forward, the further back you allow yourself to be. Comfort is the gateway to stagnation. It's just like water. If you've ever ridden by a swamp before, there's a difference between the smell of a swamp and the smell of a river. What you know about a river is that a river is constantly moving, constantly flowing. There's movement in and out. There's movement of water passing through, coming from other regions, passing through. But if you've ever driven past a swamp before, you can smell it before you ever see it. The same is true for our lives. If we dwell in comfort too long, comfort will start to have a stench. And I'm sure the argument can be, well, comfort is not necessarily bad, but comfort can be detrimental to your forward progress and forward movement in Christ. He did not set us free for us to just stay still, for us to just be comfortable. I mean, if we're going to put it that way, Jesus was uncomfortable sometimes, and Jesus knew the plan. How do we know? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Lord to let this cup pass from me. Let's move into this week's episode. The intro has me a little perturbed about that. The intro has me a little uncomfortable because the Lord is speaking to me as I am speaking to you. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to start there. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, who was the prophet. He said, 'Go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there.' So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message. Verse 6, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand." When you think of something being pliable, you think of it being as something that is workable, something that can be shaped, something that can be formed, something that can be easily bent, something that is flexible. The dictionary used the term to be supple, to bend easily without breaking, to be flexible. I had to sit and reflect on how pliable I actually am. Not how pliable I want to be, but how pliable am I? For real. Can I go with the flow? Can I take the sudden twists and the sudden turns of this journey as the Lord brings them? I have moments where I can take it. Like, I have moments where I'm super flexible. But then there are other moments when I'm just like, God, I don't feel like it. Will you be honest and say that? Like, God, I don't feel like it. I don't want to bend today. I don't want to do this today. Actually, the way I want this to turn out is X, Y, Z. Explain reason right there. This is how I really want this to turn out, God. So if you could just do that and whatever else you had in mind, don't worry about it. Is it just me? In this scripture, the Lord asking Jeremiah to go down to the potter's shop. What else did he see outside of what he mentioned? And of course, today, there are many more technological advances that have occurred to make work easier. And so I looked up the process of pottery. There's a preparation that happens first. The clay itself is wedged. So wedging removes the air bubbles. It removes anything that keeps the clay from being a consistent texture all the way through. So there are times where they break it apart, times where they knead it, times where they press it and push it in order to get the air bubbles out. During that whole time, it has to be on a moist surface as to keep the clay from drying out. I was thinking about the preparation. Like, preparation can be preparation can look many different ways depending on where your life is currently. Preparation for a season, preparation for a job. Sometimes preparing for is not beautiful. Okay. In the preparation stage, it's not ideal. You don't have a vision as far as how this is going to turn out because you're in preparation, you are being prepared. When you're being prepared, that's when the Lord removes anything. That's when the Lord begins to remove anything that can hinder your formation as he's trying to shape you. After this time of preparation is done, then the potter begins to shape. They use wheel throwing techniques, hand building techniques. And so the way that you've typically probably seen it is the clay being placed on what they call a spinning pottery wheel. And it's shaped using the hands. So as it's spinning, the potter is shaping using the hands. In the stage of shaping, it requires lots and lots and lots of water to make a clay pot on a wheel, because clay is naturally hard and it's also heavy. The water is what makes and keeps the clay workable. In the shaping process, life is happening, right? We're on the wheel, we're spinning, but the potter is still working on us. And then every now and again, he'll add some water to make sure that he can continue shaping us into what his vision is for us, not ours. The shaping part is where we are pliable. We are easily bent. We are flexible. We're easy. We're supple and ready to be molded and made and shaped to however it is that the potter wants. This particular season of my life, I can truly say that as the Lord has been shaping me, it has caused me to be mindful of how I handle this season. There are some instances where as I'm being shaped and as I'm being pliable to his use and to his hand, there are some times when I get discouraged. I'm not even gonna lie to you, because it feels like God is taking so long for you to just make me and mold me. Like, it's taking a long time. But there's a masterpiece end goal that he has. There's something that he desires to see in this. My only job is to let him do what he does. That's my only job. Let him do what he does. I should be so submitted and so surrendered to him that as he shapes, as he bends on one side, I should just go with it and not show resistance. Let me tell you why. The third phase is drying. And I'm thinking, you know, well, you know, the clay, yeah, it'll dry, whatever, whatever. But it has to dry gradually. Why? Drying gradually prevents it from cracking. Drying is not a quick process. We have to be careful moving before it's time. Because if I were to create a piece of pottery, if I give it a time limit and I say, oh, I'm going to come back and in 24 hours, it's going to be ready and set, ready for me to use. Actually, no, it's not. And what I'm going to do is use it too soon. It's the same with this process. If we move too soon, we're going to crack. And then what happens after that? We're going to be broken back down, shaped again, and go through that process all over again. The next phase in this process is called firing, bisque. So the first firing, they call it a bisque firing, and they call it that because what it does is it removes moisture and transforms the clay into a hardened state. Here's the thing about the clay in this state, though. It's still porous, which simply means that just as your skin has pores, it is capable of absorbing liquids. It's capable of distributing liquids throughout, okay? And so what has to happen is during that firing process, it hardens, but it's still porous. It's still able to absorb water. So think about terracotta. That's very porous. But the firing, this firing, the bisque firing, it burns out organic matter. What is organic matter, you ask? Anything that keeps it from being clean. Do we stay in the fire long enough to be a cleaner vessel? Do we stay in the fire long enough to harden, to be set? It is bisque firing that makes a clay pot, a clay jar. It makes it more durable. It reminds me of James chapter 1, where it says, For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So then in the final phases of this clay pot adventure, right, is the glazing. Glazing and the glaze firing. So the glazing, that comes from things that are made of clay but are covered. When it is covered and glazed in that way, it makes it waterproof. Then they fire it. They fire it so that it melts the glaze and fuses it to the pottery, and it creates something that's even more durable and often just a colorful finished product, all right? So, Jocelyn, what does this have to do with anything? It has everything to do with being pliable. We feel like after we accomplish one thing, like, God, this is the end of this journey, but it's really not. It's not the end of it, because you're going to constantly be made and adjusted, but you're going to constantly have different parts of you being shaped at different times. My desire is for the Lord to fully get the glory out of my existence on this earth. But the only way that I can do that is if I am pliable in His hands. But while we are on this potter's wheel, while we are in the phase of being shaped, while we are in the phase of being watered so we can be pliable and flexible in the potter's hands, here's the thing about God. At the slightest hint of what is compromised, at the slightest hint of my input in this, because, you know, as humans, we are imperfect, and every time we put our hand on something, we gonna mess it up, okay? But at the slightest hint of any compromise to this vessel, God swiftly corrects it. Why? Because He already has a purpose. He knows the end goal. The word says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. He has an expected end for us. But here's the thing, we have to be humble. Oh my God, we have to be humble. We have to be humble enough to be reshaped when it's necessary. We have to be humble enough to be molded again over and over and over again until we look like what He said we would be. How crazy would I be? How silly would I sound if I told the Lord I don't like the way you're shaping me. I don't like the way you're molding me. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5 says, I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. When I hop down to verse 9, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? And if it said to his mother, why did you make me this way? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live in it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. I want to hop down to verse 18. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and earth and put everything in place. Every part of you, every flaw, everything about you that is imperfect, he put it in place. It's imperfect in your eyes, but it's perfect in his eyes. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says. This is Isaiah telling what the Lord says. And there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. Listen, baby, do y'all feel snatched? Because I do. Because how dare I enter into a space of pride where I let the Lord know that I don't have to be pliable. I don't have to be molded. He doesn't have to do this with me because I can do it for myself. In essence, when I say, God, this, why did you make me like this? And why am I like this? Or what did I? In essence, what I'm saying is the masterpiece that you said you created is a lie. And God is not a man that he should lie. Hello, somebody. He is not gonna lie concerning who he made and how he made you to be. Your job is to be pliable in the master's hands. That's your job. That's my job, to be pliable in his hands. Who cares if this is not looking the way I want it to look? Who cares if it's not looking the way my parents want it to look? Who cares if it's not looking the way society and culture wants it to look? It looks the way God intended for it to look. So my only job, my only goal, my only responsibility is to be yielded, to be pliable, to be submitted, to be pliable, to be surrendered, to be pliable, to be flexible, to be pliable in his hands. We are tools in the master's hands. He is the Lord and there is no other. There is no other God. So while you can run from east to west, you can go from person to person, you can get advice from here and there, you still got to go back to the master. You still got to go back to the Father. You still got to go back to God, because you will never find the answers you need if they don't come from him. What I do know is this. I know that I can absolutely do nothing without him. Nothing. I can be nothing without him. So in this journey of being, in this journey of becoming who we already are, remain pliable in his hands. Watch what he does. Every bold promise that he made concerning your life, he will fulfill. If you stay out of the way, we got to stay out of his way. We're not even smart enough to shape ourselves. Hello. We're not. Intelligent, we could be, but as a match to God, Absolutely not. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is higher than our understanding. The level of his wisdom does not compare to ours. It ain't comparable. It's just not. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we accept that, now that we have become new, we recognize now the power is not in our hands. The power has always been in his. Let me pull out of this now, because I could scream, I could cry, and I could run, and we're not doing that right now. So let's pray. Most wise God, our Father, the Master Potter, God, we thank you so much for this time of impartation, this time spent in your word. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us as we seek you. Why would you tell us to seek you if you couldn't be found? And so, God, we up our seek. We up our seek. We up our following after you. God, we raise our intentionality towards you, towards your word, towards understanding your heart towards us, understanding how it is you made us to be, knowing that you have made something new, that you have formed us brand new, knowing that you have done that. Now, God, we commit to being pliable in your hands. We commit to being flexible, easily bent in your hands, because, God, we know that as long as we remain in your hands, we won't break. Mm-mm. Because you know the amount of pressure. You know the setting that we need to be. We just need to be submitted to you, to be pliable in your hands. So I pray for every person listening that's wrestling with being on your will. I pray for every person that's wrestling with control, with pride, with every person who is wrestling with their flesh. I pray, Father, that you will cause us to see you and nothing else, to see you above all things, to see you in all things. And God, if you're not there, help us to turn away. Help us to turn away. We love you, and we are grateful that you love us too. And our commitment to you, God, is to remain pliable and workable in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.